Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
That's better. Welcome to Broad Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. For many of us in the resident congregation of Broad Ministries, including me, this is our first venture into the challenges of a resident congregation. I can't speak for everyone here, but I'm starting to envy the days when I was in a non-resident congregation. Paul dealt with many of the things that we deal with here at Barah Ministries, which caused him to ask the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1a, "You foolish Galatians, what has bewitched you?" What was the malady that was happening in the Galatian region? Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 19 say so, and that is, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting the Lord Jesus Christ, who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another gospel. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But if we, even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." And as we have said before, I say again now, if, for the sake of argument, any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive from me, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it by man, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the description of us all. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, with souls and sin natures. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem, the hellhole, to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia to consult with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and then returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas, that's the name for the apostle Simon Peter, the one who denied Jesus 3 times, and I stayed with him for 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, I was informed recently that the word of God is not enough to attract people to Barah Ministries. Let me repeat that. I was informed recently that the word of God is not enough to attract people to Barah Ministries. Well, if it isn't, then the Lord Jesus Christ is a liar. If the Word of God isn't enough to attract people to Broad Ministries, then the Word of God is a liar. And that makes God a liar. Here's what he says in Isaiah 55:10. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." Now, I happen to believe that. And so we gather here today to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to study his word, and we have complete confidence of faith that his will be done. And I believe his will is that Barah Ministries is a very viable ministry in the community that it serves. And we have been in existence for 15 years, and we have seen the trek to this place where we are right now be a slow and steady one. And I believe that God is a God who tells the truth. And he says that he doesn't start anything without finishing it. And I believe with all my heart that he will finish this. And so I stay faithful, I stand firm, and I don't believe for a second that the Word of God isn't powerful enough to attract people to this ministry, as I've been told. As God prepares our souls for the celebration of worshiping him, let's adore our Lord in song. The opening song is Worthy.
I'm worthy. In Christ alone is where my worth is, you see. He's part of the Trinity that's indwelling me. Jesus Christ is worthy.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Saturate us with your Word. Keep your promises to us. Make your Word visible in our lives. Silence those with wavering faith. Show us your kindness and mercy and love. Answer our prayers. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, Romans chapter 2, the Lord sees the secrets of your heart. The Lord sees the secrets of your heart. First, a few announcements. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is June 8th, 2014. We're in our new location at 1220 South Alma School Road, which is Alma School in Southern, in Suite 102, Mesa, Arizona. pretty clearly visible sign from Alma School Road. So if you have been going to the Hilton, like a couple people have, and make sure you know that we're in a new location. Happy birthday to Emily Goodall coming up on May 23rd. We miss you, Emily. We're praying for you. And we know it's not nice to be bedridden, but we're praying for you and for our soon-to-be newest member. And everything's going to work out great. So we're looking forward to welcoming him into the world. We're going to be visiting the vets on June 22nd at 1:45 p.m. If you're interested in joining us, see Susie Embry for details. We're going to go visit the ice cream eatingest people in Arizona. They come over, and it's always a good time getting together with them. Now let's take the offering. Let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, which says, "Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, and not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver." Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. And we appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others. This week I was venting to my mom at the hospital about one of my bosses. I've got one boss that's organized and one boss that's, his desk looks like a paper shredder had a bowel movement on his desk, so it's an explosion. And it's just, that's kind of how his life is run too. And I was just doing like Pastor said in the first lesson, I was judging him and throwing stones, and mom said, you know, he's a work in progress. And that really hit me, and it made me think of Philippians 1:6. "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ." And that when she said that, it started to apply to people, not just to me, and it applied to the church, and it applies to so many things. It applies to relationships. You know, God starts relationships, and he's going to perfect them, you know, and the church is one thing that he's going to perfect. He's going to perfect his church without us doing anything. And we're actively helping, but it's always him that's making it work. And when the guy Clyde came in yesterday and interrupted our meeting, you know, he's a work in progress. And you know his family's given up on him. They don't see the end game. They don't see that he even has a chance. But when he came in, we all thought, you know, this guy, he can turn it around. He's going to go back to jail. He's going to go through some hard times, but he can turn it around. And God will perfect that work if he wants to. So I think the same thing applies here. You know, you guys have keep giving to this church, and it's growing, and it's a complete work in progress, but it's an amazing church, worldwide ministry. So thank you for all your help and your giving. Thank you.
That's where I am strong, in your presence, oh Lord, my God, in your presence, that's where I belong, seeking your face, touching I want to hide
Nice job, Susie, in applying what we're learning here. We appreciate that. Today's study, Romans chapter 2, the Lord sees the secrets of your heart. The Lord sees the secrets of your heart. The book of Romans, the consequences of sin passage is what we're studying, Romans 1:18 to Romans 3:20. We pick it up at Romans chapter 2, verse 9. Turn there, please. Who are you really? Who are you really? Because the Lord knows. We can fool people, but we can't fool God. And that's the lessons of Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. We can fool people, but we can't fool God. Our practice of self-righteousness and religion neither fools nor impresses God. And I think that's one thing that the religious don't really understand. People who practice religion don't really understand that their works just don't impress God. He's not impressed by that. What he's impressed by is righteousness. And the only ones of us who have righteousness are the ones who have accepted his free gift of righteousness. And so that's what's impressive to God. So whether we are unbeliever or believer, that's what's important. We pick up things at Romans chapter 2, verse 9. Here's what it says. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of mankind who does evil. That's a reference to unbelievers. Men and women of the Jews first, and also of the Greek. And the Greek is a reference to Gentiles. In other words, tribulation and distress for the whole human race. When the Bible talks about Jews and Gentiles, they're talking about all of us. When they're talking about the Jews and the Greeks, they're talking about all of us, because you are either Jew or Greek. And if you're not Jew, you're Greek. And we are Gentile believers. The human race consists then of Jews and Gentiles. Here's Romans chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good. That's believers in Christ. The regenerate ones, the ones who are born again. Again, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There are Jews who are racially Jews who are also Christians. So you can be Jewish and Christian. As a matter of fact, we have a Jewish Christian in our non-resident congregation, Jan Goldberg and his family down in Florida. Jan is Jewish, but he's also a believer in Christ. And if the New York Rangers are lucky enough to get into the Stanley Cup Finals to meet my Blackhawks, who are about to thrash the Los Angeles Kings, then he and I have agreed to go to a game out at Madison Square Garden to see that. So the human race consists of Jews and Gentiles. Now, Glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, that's believers in Christ, the regenerate ones, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there are believers. Those are the ones that the Bible describes as doing good, because once your heart is regenerate, you are on a path to do good. Even if you lose your way along the way, you're on a path of good. And Romans 2:11 says, "For there is no partiality with God." That's a real huge message in this 16-verse passage. There is no partiality with God. There are those of you who are lascivious. There are those of you who are self-righteous. There are those of you who are religious. And you may think that all those things, if you're lascivious, which is an interest in sexual things and a whole category of sins, you may think that that lifestyle disqualifies you from a relationship with God. It does not. If you are religious and you grew up in a religious household, you may think that the practices of religion somehow make you special. They do not. If you are self-righteous and you think you're better than other people and you practice that thought that you're somehow better than others because there's something deficient in them that's not deficient in you, you are not special before God. And that's what this entire consequences of sin passage is getting across. You can sit in self-righteousness and think you're better than somebody else. You can complain about other people and wish that they were just like you. Can you imagine a world with everyone who's just like you? I would never want to live in a world where everyone was just like me. There is no partiality with God. He is just, and therefore he will judge fairly. Now, what is partiality? Partiality is a show of favoritism. God does not show favoritism. He does not pick favorites. Our God is a God of justice. So to those who practice self-righteousness and religion, to those who think there is something wonderful in them that is missing in others, a loud and clear message of this lesson is that God does not play favorites. And so if you're missing the lessons, the message of the lessons, don't miss that message. God does not play favorites. Therefore, lest you miss the message, you are not special to God on the basis of any deeds that you do in self-righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verses 3 and 5 make this clear. For what does the Old Testament scripture say? And this is a specific reference to Genesis 15, 6. What does the Old Testament scripture say? It says, Abraham believed in God. God who? Jehovah Elohim. The Lord, God the Son, Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state. Pre-incarnate means before he came to the earth state, before he took on flesh and tabernacled among us. Abraham believed in Jehovah Elohim, and his faith in the Lord was credited to him, that is, imputed to his account as absolute righteousness, the admission ticket to heaven. The admission ticket to heaven. You always hear the jokes about the pearly gates. I'm going to see St. Peter at the pearly gates. No, you're not. You're going to be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord if you're a believer in Christ. St. Peter would be lucky to be at the pearly gates. St. Peter's going to be chilling somewhere else. And so you'll be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. Abraham believed in the Lord. And it was credited to his account as absolute righteousness. That is the admission ticket to heaven. Romans 4:4. Now to the one who works for salvation by practicing self-righteousness and religion, his payment is not credited as a favor, which is grace. How do you get absolute righteousness? As a favor, through the grace of God, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives you his absolute righteousness. He imputes it to your account. But to the one who works, he doesn't get the favor because his works are his payment in full. So to the one who works for salvation by practicing self-righteousness or religion, his payment is not credited as a favor, but his payment is credited as what is due. Unfortunately, self-righteousness credited won't get you to heaven. Romans 4:5, but to the one who does not work for salvation, but believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who justifies the ungodly, who justifies the ungodly, who takes an enemy, and while he is still his enemy, dies on the cross so the ungodly, the unbeliever, can have salvation. To the one who does not work for salvation, but believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who justifies the ungodly, this person's faith is credited as absolute righteousness, the admission ticket to heaven. We saw that last week in the story of the publican and the tax collector. The tax collector wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He didn't feel himself worthy. Romans chapter 2, verse 12. For all who have sinned without the Mosaic law, and that's a reference to Gentiles because they were not under the Mosaic law, and that's a reference to Abraham. Abraham was not under the Mosaic law. And so when we get to chapter 4, we'll look at that. So to all who have sinned without the Mosaic law, those people will also perish. They'll also be evaluated, but they'll be evaluated not based on the Mosaic law. And all who have sinned under the Mosaic law will be judged by the Mosaic law. In other words, no one is exempt from obedience to Christ. There is no partiality with God. The only way to heaven is to believe in Christ as he is revealed in the era in which you live. And no one is exempt from that because God does not play favorites. Romans 2:13, it is not the hearers of the Mosaic law who are justified before God, but the doers of the Mosaic law will be justified before God. Now, there was only one person who did the Mosaic law, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only righteous one. Everybody else who tried to live the Mosaic law failed, and failed miserably. So whether you're under the law and you failed miserably, or you're not under the law and you failed miserably, you're still judged the same. Why? Because there's no partiality with God. Take a 5-minute break, and we'll hear what Paul has to say about the Jews.
Thank you. There we are.
Oh, that was loud. Romans chapter 2, verse 12. Romans chapter 2, verse 12. Here's what it says. For all who have sinned without the Mosaic law, which is a reference to Gentiles who were not under the Mosaic law, will also perish. That is, they'll be evaluated without the Mosaic law. And all who sinned under the Mosaic law will be judged by the Mosaic law. For it is not the hearers of the Mosaic law who are justified before God, but the doers of the Mosaic law will be justified before God. Now, Paul amplifies this idea in Romans chapter 9. Take a peek there. Romans chapter 9. Keep your place where you are, but go forward to Romans chapter 9. One of the most impassioned passages in Romans. Romans chapter 9. Beginning at verse 1. Hold your places at 2. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. It says, I, Paul, am telling the truth. In union with Christ, I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the filling of the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For what? Romans 9:3, for I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ to hell, for the sake of my brethren, the Jews, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul is saying that he would trade in his relationship with Christ and would go to the lake of fire if he could be the substitute for all of the Jews who had rejected the Messiah. Sounds almost Christ-like, doesn't it? Romans 9:4, my kinsmen, who are the Jews, who are the Israelites, the racial Jews, to whom belongs a host of gifts, adoption as sons, the glory, the covenants given by the Lord to Abraham, five of them, promising that the Jews have a future. Isn't it interesting that there are about 13 million Jews on the earth and that everybody wants to wipe them out and nobody has been able to? That every country surrounding Israel wants to wipe it out and cannot pull it off. Isn't that interesting? And we think, oh, well, one day there's going to be peace in the Middle East. Yeah, when the Lord Jesus Christ rules from there. But not now. Because everybody wants to wipe the Jews out and they will never pull it off. Why? Because of the covenants that were given to Abraham on behalf of the Jews. And so the giving of the Mosaic law. The Jews who were given the temple service and the promises, Romans 9:5, who are the fathers, the patriarchs, and from whom, describing these Jews, is the Christ, the Messiah to come. The Lord Jesus Christ was Jewish, and he came from Jewish lineage. He came from the line of David, according to the flesh, in the flesh, and tabernacled among us. This Jesus Christ, who is the God over all, the God who is blessed forever. Amen. Romans 9:6. But it's not as though the word of God, the gospel message, has failed just because some Jews didn't respond to it. For they are not all Israel who is descended from Israel. They are not all spiritual Jews who are racial Jews. They are not all believers in Christ, spiritual Jews, who are racial Jews. And I think I've told this congregation several times about a friend of mine that I have evangelized to endlessly. And her comment to me is always the same. Rory, I'm Jewish. Which translated means, Rory, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. And she's told my friends in the background, why does he keep talking to me about Jesus Christ? I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I'm Jewish. What is she saying? She's a racial Jew. But she is not a spiritual Jew. And for all eternity in the lake of fire, it will be playing over and over in her head, because the conscience is not removed in the lake of fire. It will be playing over and over in her head that I invited her to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was compassionate toward her. He put her in a consulting gig in a company called Service Master. And what she found out is that Service Master was a company started by Christians, and Service Master means service to the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And she has that story stuck in her head too, because every time she teaches about culture and the wisdom of knowing the culture that you're going into, she uses that as an example. She says, I didn't know the culture of Service Master when I went to consult them. And then I found out Service Master means service to the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm Jewish. All Israel is not Israel. All racial Jews are not spiritual Jews. They believe that they're the same as Father Abraham. But in self-righteousness, they think they have privilege. But there's no partiality with God. And no matter who you are, whether you're Gentiles who are not under the Mosaic law or Jews who were, believing in Christ is the way to righteousness. And that's what Paul is saying in one of the most impassioned passages in the Bible, that he would send himself to hell if he could stand in for all of the racial Jews who are not spiritual Jews. Back to Romans chapter 2 in verse 14. For when Gentiles who do not have the Mosaic law do instinctively the things of the Mosaic law, these Gentiles, not having the law, are a law to themselves. The Gentiles proved what is said in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Look there. The Gentiles are proof of what is said in Romans chapter 1, 18 and 19. And here's what's said there. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, in this case, the racial Jews, and against all unrighteousness of men, all Gentiles, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. That's what God did. He wrote his law in our hearts. And our hearts is always a reference in the Bible to our soul. The Gentiles, without the Mosaic law, proved that the Mosaic law was not only written on stone tablets by God, but that it is also written in the very souls of all mankind. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 15. In that the Gentiles show the work of the Mosaic law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. What does that mean? The Gentiles are accused when they reject the Lord Jesus Christ's unconditional love for them. The Gentiles are defended when they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that faith is credited to them as absolute righteousness. Romans 2:16. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. Yes, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. So, there's nowhere for you to hide. You can run, but you can't hide. That's what this is saying. It's saying if you're lascivious or religious or self-righteous and you're an unbeliever, there's nowhere for you to hide. You will be judged. You will be evaluated based on obedience to a very simple thing written in your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now, isn't it funny that people who are in the category of lascivious, religious, and self-righteous, who reject Jesus Christ, who don't want to know anything about God, isn't it funny that they celebrate Christmas and Easter? How is it that Jesus Christ, this meaningless person, was able to get two holidays on the calendar? If he was just a prophet, how did he get two holidays on a calendar? Two holidays that are celebrated everywhere in the world. How do you pull that off? That's a hell of a prophet, isn't it? Amen? See, the Jews, in the practice of self-righteousness and religious judgment toward the Gentiles, are actually being put to shame by the Gentiles because the Gentiles didn't have the Mosaic law. But they had the law written on their hearts. For even though the Gentiles didn't have that sacred thing, they didn't have anybody who went up the mountain and had a cloud around his head and had all this stuff written down and talked into a burning bush, they still had everything they needed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved if they wanted salvation. Yeah, but what about the little kids in the middle of Africa? It's written on their hearts too. It's revealed in the sky. It's revealed from inside of them and outside of them. And missionaries go over to them if that wasn't enough. And they get more gospel message activity than we get. Deacon Denny had a great expression yesterday in our deacons meeting, our quite vocal and vigorous deacon meeting. He said, you know, we're spoiled first world people. Because there are people, I see them on Facebook, who say it this way: we don't have a grace-oriented church in our area. And I say, oh, what do you mean? Yeah, there's nobody over here teaching grace. But luckily, every once in a while, I can get on the internet and I can listen to different pastors who are teaching grace. But over here, nobody's teaching grace. There's no place for me to go to hear a message of grace. And we take this place for granted. Why? Because we're spoiled first world people. You know, the most miserable part of our day is, you know, where we're going to eat today, which cool place we're going to eat today. But there are people in third world countries who can't even get fresh water through their pipes. And you would be appalled at some of the conditions that they live in. If you saw the water that they drink, you would be appalled at it. Yet we, spoiled first world people, take this place for granted. A church that's teaching grace and truth and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm seeing that happen in churches all over the world, that Satan has an attack on churches that are teaching grace. And the attack is being directed at the pastor. And we have one of those here too, from some of the most unlikely sources. But see, I'm not supposed to get up here and talk about that. I'm supposed to keep that from you. But it happens even here. And the thing that's funny about the attack, it is that it is verbatim what other pastors have gone through, word for word. Now, that's either a tremendous coincidence, or you'd have to think that something spiritual is going on here. And I just wonder how many times we actually think, when we're doing the certain things that we're doing, when we're chirping in the background about how miserable it is here at Barah Ministries, or we're chirping about how miserable the pastor is, I wonder if we just stop and ask ourselves, are we just spoiled first world kids? Because I have a friend in China who has to sneak into a location to study the Word of God every week under the fear that if he is discovered, he will be executed. And he is faithful to do it every week. Yeah, we're spoiled. Don't think it's going to faze me, because it's not going to faze me. Don't think I'm going to back off, because I'm not going to back off. I know what it is. And I know who sponsors it. And I know who I stand for. That's what we're talking about here, self-righteousness. We talked about lasciviousness. That's the stuff that goes on in the closet. Now we're talking about self-righteousness. And since my message isn't so clear, let me make this clear. It applies to you, believer or unbeliever. It applies to you, adult or child. It applies to you. It happens on the playgrounds of the world as well. Teenagers, it applies to you. It applies to me. It applies to all of us. So before you point the finger that way, look at the three fingers that are pointing back at yourself. That's what this is all about. Let that message be clear. And that is not a message that should bother you. It is not a message that should make you hang your head or tuck your tail between your legs. It should be a message that uplifts you. It makes you excited to know that you're not perfect and that you also don't have to be. Because there is someone who's perfect, who loves you unconditionally and wants the best for you. And he is calling you to step up to a higher level of performance. Works. Fruit. That you can see visibly. Not words. The Gentiles put the Jews to shame. And they put him to shame so much that Paul had to continue in verse 17 to tell the Jews again because they're kind of hard of hearing. And that'll take us verse 17 through the rest of chapter 2 as Paul is waking the Jews up. Because the Jews had everything handed to them through the Mosaic Law. The Gentiles did not. And yet the Jews, what did they do? They did what people always do. They follow Satan's lead. Satan was responsible for teaching the angels how to worship God. And he did it extremely well. And then he stood off and he started looking with that cockeyed glance at the Lord and saying to himself, why aren't I getting that praise? Because I'm the one that's creating that. He forgot the source. He forgot how he was created. He forgot that he was created brilliant, gorgeous, dressed to the nines, perfect, blameless in his ways. He forgot the source of where that came from. Don't we? Don't we assume the prerogatives of God and think we have the answer for everybody else's life when our life is a shambles? Aren't we always pointing over there and not looking at ourselves in the mirror? Yeah, we have blind spots. Absolutely. And isn't it a lifestyle for some? Isn't it a sport? Isn't it something that we easily excuse? Isn't it something that we don't go before the throne of grace and ask, God, I can't do anything about this. Will you please? Because I am failing at it. Would you please? So often we miss it. But the Lord will assume, the Lord will illuminate for each person the secrets of their heart. The Jews had everything handed to them in the Mosaic Law, yet they rejected their Messiah. Alyssa asked me last night, what do you tell somebody who says, I'll believe God when I see him? If you don't believe him who you don't see, you ain't going to believe him if you see him. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ told to Thomas. When he was resurrected, all the other apostles had seen the Lord and said, Thomas, we saw the Lord. Yeah, well, yeah, that's fine. But I won't believe it until I put my hand in his side and put my hand in the nail prints. And the Lord came to Thomas and he put his hands in the nail prints and he put his hand in his side. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And he said, yeah, great, Thomas. Great. So you saw. Great. Congratulations. But blessed are they who believe when they don't see. I believe when I don't see. I believe Barah Ministries is going to be a force to be reckoned with in the world. And I believe it already is. And I don't believe that this is Barah Ministries. I think this is the core of Barah Ministries. And I don't see it yet. And I don't know where it's coming from, but I believe it. Do you? And I know this about myself. I've been saying that same thing my whole life. I don't know how I'm going to find my way out of this mess, but I will. I've been saying it my whole life. And Romans 7:25 tells us how I got out of the mess. Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the same for you if you're a believer in Christ. He will deliver you. Where is your faith? The Lord will illuminate for each person the secrets of their heart that they were able to hide from men. Romans 2:1. Therefore, you who practice self-righteousness and religion, you have no excuse, no escape from judgment. No more escape from judgment than the lascivious. And every one of you who passes judgment on others, for in that which you condemn another, like those practicing lasciviousness, you condemn yourself. For you who judge those who practice lasciviousness practice the same things. Lasciviousness practiced in the closet, out of sight. Lascivious things which are just as bad, perhaps worse, including lascivious thought. God is the creator. Our God is the sovereign of the universe. The Lord Jesus Christ made us. And he has made his absolute standards abundantly clear to us. From the inside, written on our hearts, written in our souls, and from the outside, by surrounding us with an entire created universe that all points to him. God's wrath is directed toward the unbeliever. God's righteousness is directed toward you, believers in Christ. The only righteous one is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 16 make it clear that no human being, whether immoral or moral, whether good or bad, whether right or wrong, whether self-righteous or lascivious, those little boxes that we like running in, stands before God in righteousness, except the ones who appropriate his righteousness by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That is the only way to salvation. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and everyone in your household who also believes. John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. God the Father did not send God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to judge the world. But he sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world so that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is not judged. But he who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the uniquely born Son of God. The Lord knows the secrets of your heart. Your secrets are safe with him. You may be able to hide those secrets from men, but you cannot hide those secrets from an omniscient and omnipresent God. And no creature will escape the justice of a Lord who is not one to show partiality. And in case you missed the message, that's the message of Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 16, that no creature, and it extends all the way back to Romans chapter 1, verse 18, in case you missed the message. And the message is that no creature will escape the justice of a Lord who is not one to play favorites, not one to show partiality. And that is not bad news. It's good news if you're comfortable in lasciviousness or in religiosity or in self-righteousness, with who you are at the core, knowing that your salvation comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you who are in union with Christ Jesus. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Don't forget this. We are royalty.
The Spirit sealing remains. Our God sanctifies us. Yes, we've been set apart because of God's awesome plan. Royalty thou art. We're God's royalty. Call live in dignity, in transparency, for all the world to see. We are God's royalty. One day we'll live with Him. We're God's royalty. His power. We're co-heirs with Him, blessed with spiritual blessings. He calls us His friend. No one can separate us from our union with Christ. The cross elevates us to a royal.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of learning your word, and we thank you for pointing out our blind spots. Thanks for pointing out the things that the word of God reflects to us that we miss in our everyday work. I pray that all those who are at the other end of this message give themselves a tremendous self-evaluation and also another evaluation, asking people what's in their blind spots so that they might know that self-righteousness and religiosity and lasciviousness are part of all of our makeups, and that those maladies are not limited to a few. And we might understand your magnificent grace in the matter of how you handle us in that condition. And Father, in case anyone is questioning what the vision of Barah Ministries is, and they've missed it, what has been said at the end of every lesson, for thousands of lessons since the beginning of the ministry, we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.